Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm taking calls and helping you navigate your sex and relationship questions. Topics include how to move past anxiety to enjoy sex again, enhancing your libido and rebuilding intimacy when there's a house full of kids, keeping it sexy during a threesome, and how to tell if you're really ready for marriage and not just being talked into it. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can easily subscribe to the podcast. I love when you subscribe to the podcast. It makes everyone's life so much easier. It's great when you review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen. And we've got some great podcasts lately. You guys have really been liking Your Two Breast Friends. I did with Jamie, my assistant producer. That was a great show. We talk about your breasts, but we also talk about some fun toys and some best sex tips. Also, The Mask of Masculinity with Lewis Howes, which is a great show to listen to about men's emotional and mental health and how you can help any men in your life. And also Getting Touchy-Feely with Brooke Burke. These are all some great podcasts that have come out in the last few months. We do two a week. I hope you enjoy the shows. And also check out the website because we're always updating the site with posts and blogs and things that will help you have better sex and relationships. And as always, you can get more Sex with Emily on social. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. And we've been doing some Facebook Lives lately and some Instagram Lives during the show. So if you've ever wondered, like, what goes on there in Sex with Emily, I want to see this, you can check us out. And I love hearing from you on all those channels. You guys, today's show is one of my favorites. We are taking your calls, and I love these shows because, as you know, I love helping you, answering your questions that you email me, but also when you do send me your questions, you can select that you'd like to be called. I really enjoy these call shows because I feel like I can help you with words through your emails, but also when we get to talk, you'll see we just get to break down some of your challenges right away. We can go deeper and really have some real solutions. So I just love these shows. So if you're feeling a little anxiety around it, when you send in your question, I think after listening to this, you'll realize that, wow, if I get to talk to Emily for a few minutes, my whole life could be changed. So thanks everybody for participating in these shows. And I always love hearing from you, and I hope you enjoy the episode. So now we are on to your calls. If you have a question you'd like me to answer on the show, that's amazing. We've made it really easy to ask me a question. So just pick an option that's best for you. You can text me, ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. That's ask Emily, one word, to 797979. And then you get a link back and you open that link and you ask your question. You can also submit a question from the Sex with Emily website via the Ask Emily tab. And that's another way to do it as well. So do that. Also include the information that will help me help you, your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And I can't wait to hear from you. Okay, we have Jordan. He's 20 from Texas, and he thinks his anxiety is hindering his sex life. Hey, Jordan.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for calling Sex with Emily.
I'm glad to be on the show.
Jordan, tell me about what's going on with you.
What's going on, per se, is that I've been in a relationship with this person for 2 years, and I have had this situation derail due to anxiety that I've had in regards to, like, just sex and things of that nature.
Okay. Yeah, keep going.
And what would happen is she would tell me, yeah, Jordan, I feel like you're doing a really good job, or, like, at least with things that would be, like, with oral or anything else of that matter. But when it would come to, like, actually getting down to it, it would always, like, my anxiety would always, like, eat me up. And then we wouldn't go anywhere. And so, thusly, like, it would pretty much end there where it would start. And so I was wondering as to, like, what my anxiety is this really just something that I have a deaf perception of, or is it something that, you know, is this a failure on my part to maybe understand, like, what's going on?
Jordan, okay, so let me understand what happens. So you've been with your partner for 2 years, and you're saying for the entire 2 years you've been together, whenever you actually go to perform, like, have intercourse, you get anxious and you, what happens? Like, you get soft, you ejaculate too quickly. Like, how does that anxiety manifest?
It's pretty much a mixture of both.
Okay. Every time?
Yes.
Okay. And have you had sex before this?
No.
Okay, so this is your first time?
Yeah.
And with your partner. Okay. And so was there any other sexual activity you had in your past?
No. Like, this was pretty much, like, first go at it for the most part.
Okay. It sounds to me like there might, and there might be some kind of other trigger to actually having sex. It was the first time you had sex, it's been happening, and then the anxiety leading up to it. Do you have anxiety in other parts of your life?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And have you been seeing a therapist?
I have not been seeing a therapist, but I've been self-medicating for it, usually just trying to work out and, like, working through it, like making a point to journal and to make a point to write down, like, what my actual feelings are about it, or to, like, work through, like, just what, like, my own personal issues are.
Yeah, that's just great steps, actually, like, writing down in the journal and kind of, you know, reflecting on what's happening. I think that's, you know, working out can be great. I would think you're 20 years old and you've been having it for a while, and I think it would be really important to get some help and to talk to a therapist or someone who can kind of help you with the anxiety, because anxiety isn't even emotion, if you can believe it or not. Like, anxiety is really kind of oftentimes just what we feel when we're not able to feel other emotions. And so there could be other things that it kind of helps you to deal with, like maybe some kind of fears or sadness, or I don't even know what else is happening in your life. But I think that a lot of times you could, maybe there are some stuff you can think about, but that have come up, or childhood stuff. And when we don't deal with these things, we just feel anxiety, like, across the board. And so I feel like, I love that you're trying to do it on your own, but with mental health, it's really challenging. For the maintenance, sounds like you'll be great if you go to see somebody for a while and they'll say, hey, I want you to journal every night, I want you to exercise and meditate. You'll do that. But I feel like you really should get some help with somebody. And do you have insurance?
I do have insurance.
Okay, well, that's great, because I know a lot of young people are like, I don't have insurance and it's expensive. People throw up a million reasons why they can't. And I can just tell you that your mental health is the most important thing. Just like going to the doctor for a checkup, you have to get this checked out, because I can't even break down. I'm not going to give you any advice about sex and how to do it here, because I feel like it's been 2 years this has been going on. And I just think that you should find someone who can kind of help you with this. And a sex therapist would be great. But I also think if it's, again, been kind of in your life for a long time, just starting with a general, you know, therapist would be very helpful right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I know it will help you with everything. What I would tell you about finding a therapist is I would see 2 to 3 therapists until you find one that you really like, because it's kind of like dating, because this is someone that you're going to have a long relationship with. You don't go 3 times. I mean, it's really a commitment where you're going to do such amazing growth in your life and you're going to learn so many things that I would try to find someone that just really be totally honest with this person, tell them everything. You've nothing to lose. They're not judging you, and to find someone who can work with you around your anxiety. Because I feel I want you to experience great sex and connection with your partner. And I think that's where it's going to start. It's in therapy.
Thank you so
okay,
much.
You're welcome, Jordan. Go do that.
All right.
You'll feel so much better.
All right,
thanks for calling. Bye. Yeah, you guys, anxiety is a plague. I'm telling you, we are all suffering from so much anxiety now, even more so than ever. I think that doing, you know, meditation and writing and exercise, all that's really important. But a lot of times we're just trying to, like I said, suppress certain emotions and feelings, and we learn just to feel anxiety. So like, no matter what's happening, you could be happy, you feel anxious, you could be sad, you feel anxious. So once you'll get into a trained therapist who can kind of help you, you know, with wherever the anxiety is coming from and help you regulate it, is a great thing to do. Okay, our next call, we have Laura. She's 28 from South Dakota, and she wants more sex, but she's got 3 kids and a lot going on. Hi, Laura. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi. Tell me a little bit of what's going on here with you. Some more background.
Well, I've got 3 kids. I've been pregnant or breastfeeding, basically, for the last 5 years.
Wow.
I'm still breastfeeding my 4-month-old. But we've just kind of hit a little slow spot. And I just feel like even before I was pregnant, I didn't have much of a sex drive.
Even before you were pregnant. Okay. And how long have you been married or with your partner?
We've been together for 14 years. We're high school sweethearts, but we've been married for 6.
Okay. So you've been together for 14 years. Is he the only person you've been with?
Yep.
Okay. There's a lot. And you've never really been into sex?
Probably at the beginning.
When you were when you were like 15, 16.
Yeah, teenager.
Right. And were you on the birth control pill?
Probably, what was that?
Oh, were you on the birth control pill?
I was. I have not been for probably 7 years now.
Okay. Just curious about that. So since you've had kids, you haven't been on the pill. So your question is really, you're not feeling any desire and you're wondering just how do you get it back? How do you get that sex drive back?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot of kids. So 3 kids pregnant, you're 28 years old. Do you have help?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you have like someone helping with the kids. And how is your relationship with your partner, your husband?
I think it's really solid.
Okay.
We're very open with each other. Everything.
That's good. And so just know that like kids, pregnancy, like that's all going to take a serious toll on your sex drive. That's just going to happen. You're exhausted. I mean, I'm exhausted thinking about your life right now. So just understand that, okay? So I feel like the more that you really take time to prioritize your sexual health, your sexual health is so important, your sexual, emotional health, is the most important thing. So I feel like couples don't often prioritize sex. We kind of think, oh, we're just going to, our sex life's going to be great like it once was, or it'll work again when it's supposed to. But the truth is that the more that you get further and further away from that intimate connection with your partner, you know, the harder it can be to kind of get it back on track. And so there's a few things you could do here. I mean, like some specific things is that I feel like if you have time to do this, I feel like you can take time out to take a bath at night, to masturbate. I mean, self-care is really key, especially when you're depleted and you think you can't take any time for yourself. That's actually the key to getting back in touch with your body and more in touch with your partner. So do you ever do that? Like take an hour at night for a bath or even a half hour to do something for yourself?
Probably not as much as I should.
Right. I mean, and let me tell you something. Women are not wired this way. We are wired to be the caretakers, to put everyone else in front of us. And then we come last, if there's anything left. And then we get depleted, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually, sexually, just depleted, which sounds like you probably are right now. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like if you feel like you can't do that on your own, what about having the conversation with your husband about your sex life and connection? Like, what's the dynamic now? Does he try to have sex and you're exhausted, or is he just kind of, explain to me what's going on.
He used to, he probably hasn't as much now just because it was more frustrating for both of us than anything.
Right. Yeah, I can understand that. Frustrating because you weren't turned on.
Right.
You didn't want it.
I'd probably more often just say no or not right now. And then we'd move on with the day.
And then he doesn't want to be rejected.
Yep.
Right. So that's what happens. So what happens is when couples start to put sex on the back burner, which so many do for exactly the reasons you're talking about, you're so not alone here. What happens is once sex is on the back burner, it's hard to get it off because you're like, well, we'll get back to that once I'm not so tired or once the kids are in school or once they graduate. I mean, it's going to be forever. So I feel like right now you have to let them know and say, babe, I love you. And our sex life is really important. And I want to have sex with you again. I want to connect with you. And I'd like to talk to you about some options or some things we could do to kind of reconnect. And so I think you can kind of look at this as something that would actually be enjoyable to you. So I'll give you a few things you could do together and some things you could do alone. I think it's great when you are rebuilding intimacy to kind of take sex off the table and just say, let's just kind of start to touch again. Because a lot of intimacy is just touching, massage, giving, he gives you a foot massage, you give him a bath, whatever kind of massage and touch you like, take a bath together and just start connecting again. Do you guys do a lot of touch at all in your relationship?
Not as much as we used to.
Right. So how do you think that would feel to just kind of start?
I would like it, yeah.
Okay. And I bet you he would too. I mean, I would think that he would like that. And I think it's just and of course, if you have sex, that's okay too. That would be great. But I think that couples can think, God, it's going to be sex and I don't want to. It's big pressure. But if you just say, let's start to get to know each other again, like let's play with this. Like let's start with massage and touching and maybe talking about some things that would really turn you both on that you'd like to try. Just talk about the state of your sex life. And I would say, let's just start having, a date night, like 30 minutes a week or an hour a week. We do our date night, we take our time, and we are going to focus on each other. And I'm telling you, date night, as simple as it seems, so many couples don't do it, but it is a huge relief for a lot of couples that they know they have that one night where they come together and they connect. So do you guys do that at all? Do you have one night?
We haven't since my youngest has been born, but we hope to get back to that here soon.
So you have help, and I would say that you have to get back to it because you go to dinner, you get dressed up, you know that sex could happen, it's going to be your night, and even if you're exhausted, you can walk to a place around the corner, go somewhere really close. It's not about what you do. It's about connecting and being intimate and looking into each other's eyes, not talking about the kids, and just feeling like it's just that same thing that you felt when you met them, right? You got to bring that back. You're not setting up, there's no situation in your life right now that would at all look like eroticism and hot sex. Like nothing in your life is driving you guys towards having hot, passionate sex because you don't have the time, you don't have the libido for it, you're not even connecting. So I feel like starting with a date night and then talk to them about sex and connecting and touching again would be a great way to start.
Sounds good.
And then on your own, I'm telling you, the more that you masturbate, the more you put it top of mind, the more you're going to want to masturbate, the more you're going to want to have sex. Like you have to wake up that whole part of yourself because you just gave birth to 3 babies. I'm sure you're very disconnected. You might be experiencing some pain, doing your Kegel exercises. I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp. You can download it. Like it reminds you to do them. There's like Kegel balls. The Bloom by WeVibe is an amazing, like it's a vibrator and it's a toy and you wear it and it measures the strength of your exercises. But the amazing thing about Kegels is that it's not just for strong pelvic floor, which is really important. It just kind of like you're putting attention on your vagina, on your pelvic region for 5 minutes a day. And just that attention will start to wake it up again. So these are a few things you can do, I think, that will really start to wake you up. And connect you with your partner.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, good. Let me know how it goes. Also, we have a few blogs on the website I thought would be helpful. One's called 3 Myths About Low Libido, and there's Mind, Body, and Low Libido, tricks to take control of your sex drive that might be really helpful for you.
Awesome. I'll check them out.
Okay, thanks for calling, Laura. You got
this. Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations on the babies. Now we need to work on your sex life. Bye. Yeah, you guys, this is the modern dilemma. What do we do when we don't want sex, when we're really busy, we have lots of kids, lots of jobs, whatever's going on, it's the last thing on our mind. And I'm telling you, like everything else in your life, you prioritize, your health, your spirituality, your religion, your family, you have to prioritize your sex life. Put it back on the table. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and give a shout out to our sponsors. Thank you, everybody, for supporting them, help keeping the show free. And I know you all have been loving all the products. So I love hearing from you. I love when you send me like snaps and pictures of you guys when you're like, look, I got my Joe Lube. Look at the WeVibe toys I got. That's super fun. So thanks for doing that and for supporting them. And we'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, our next call is John. He's 36 from Idaho, and he's not sure that he's ready for traditional marriage and perhaps considering an open relationship. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, I'm good. I'm so glad you called. I'm really looking forward to talking to you.
Tell me. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. I want to work this through with you. So tell me what's going on.
So my girlfriend recently proposed to me, which is awesome. No, not a problem. She is 8 years younger than me. I've been married once before. First time just didn't pan out, not for my fault or her fault. But the question came up about prenuptial agreements. I am 8 years older than her. I have a good job. I have a pension. Mm-hmm. I have quite a bit of money in the bank, whereas she has, you know, approximately $30,000 in student debt. Mm. And I kind of want an open relationship, and we've talked about it, but she's not ready to do that or have an open marriage. The idea of maybe bringing, I guess, a unicorn into the marriage, mm-hmm. maybe years down the road, might be a possibility.
Right. Okay.
But I feel like I might be setting myself up for failure and be hurting financially down the road.
Right, right. Well, I feel like that's, okay, so the prenup thing, that's one thing we can get to, but I want to know, how long have you guys been together?
Okay. 3 years.
3 years. And could you picture spending the rest of your life with her? Like, forget everything else about sex and other people.
Yeah.
Like, she's the one.
No, we have awesome sex, but at the same time, you know, I've been married once before, and I've also been in some long-term relationships, and, you know, the sex part, like, is great, but, you know, sometimes you do kind of want another person.
And absolutely, man.
I feel
you're
that
right.
way already, but...
No, it's 3 years.
That way with other relationships, too.
Yeah, no, that's being
and
human.
Maybe I'm a little bit older than... Okay.
No, really. I think a lot of men and women feel that way in relationships. It's very, very common. They do. But some people just kind of like decide not to, you know, they don't act on it. They're like, I'm going to commit to this person and I'm not going to. But I really don't think it's completely natural. And I think it's a challenge for everybody, what people don't often talk about. So I think it's great. So don't feel bad, John, that you want to be with other women or think about it even. So that is like, it's actually more common than not. And so you're fine. So don't feel guilty that you didn't do anything wrong at all. So you're good there.
She's not willing to have the open relationship, I
right?
guess,
okay.
In the future, and the idea of maybe bringing a third person into
she's not open to
marriage,
it because
you know, it might be a compromise, but I'm not sure I can. You know,
I get it. No, it's a big. So many people don't understand that. You know, she might not want that. She might know what that looks like. But here's my question for you: in between your last long-term relationship and this long-term relationship, do you have any time off without dating?
No, I ended up moving to Idaho from somewhere else that, you know, was a college town. And essentially I moved into a very small community of a few hundred people. And so I guess the dating pool here really wasn't very much.
Right. So you were,
retirement community.
Right. Okay. So you were married for how long before? What age to what age?
I was married from 27 to 29. We dated for a few years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I jumped into another long-term relationship. And then now into this long-term relationship.
So you've never just been like single John, dating, kind of like getting, like dating, sleeping with whoever, just having fun, taking time alone. Never. Do you have kids?
No.
You don't have kids, right?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, just fur babies.
Right. Oh, animals, right. Furbies, yes. No, I hear you. Those are, yes, I get it. I got it. So I don't know, John, there's a lot of things I'm thinking about. There's a few things that I feel that maybe you just need time without a woman in your life to figure out who is John. Like, what do you really want? Like, I get that you live in a small town and that is a consideration that there's a very small dating pool. But I feel like when we don't ever have time alone in our adult life, we're going from one to the next, we don't really even have time to think about, like, who am I without a partner? What do I really want to do? What am I attracted to? You know, maybe I want to have sex with, have a threesome or have sex with someone one night and then the next night somebody else and just kind of do my own thing. I think that's part of growing up and understanding, like, who we are. And I don't feel like you've done that work yet. And I think that's really important because maybe you're just like, it's okay to just be not ready yet for marriage because you didn't, you haven't had any, it feels like you've been with someone since you were 27, but maybe even before that. You seem like a really good guy. So you've always been in a relationship probably since you were like in high school, right?
Real long-term dater.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You're like, you seem like an awesome guy. Like she's proposing to you. She wants to nail you down. You sound like really attractive. You've got like a big bank account. You know, I'm not going to ask you about other things that are big. No, but I'm saying that'd be inappropriate. But I want you to, like, you just seem like the sweet, you have a really big heart, you're really caretaking, you're nurturing. That's why all these women just love you. And I'm wondering if you're getting your needs, if you know what your needs are, A, and B, if you're getting them met. And I don't even mean sexually, I mean across the board. Like, your emotional needs, your physical needs, your time alone needs, like, your, I don't know. I'm just wondering if you even know what that is yet.
You know, I would feel totally solid marrying her as, like, my one primary person.
Mm-hmm.
But sexually, like...
So you want to... Okay.
My loins are on fire. I want to have sex with other people. And
when you're what? What'd you say? When you're what? But
I don't think that's ever... I said my loins are on fire.
Oh, your loins are on fire. I get it, dude. I get it. Like, right now, on fire they are. So I feel like she's the one you want to be with, and she's got to understand that this is something that you're into. And that... Here's the thing. She might just be saying no. Okay, let me tell you. A lot of women, you're in Idaho. I'm not going to kid around. If you're in LA, they'd be like, oh, really? Another guy wants an open relationship? It would be very different. But you're in, I'm from Michigan. Right. I get it. They're like, what? That works. But I think it's more common than not. But I think she also might not totally even understand what that looks like. She's thinking, this. Want to hear what she's thinking? Oh my God, I'm not enough for him. He doesn't think I'm hot. He wants to have sex with other women. He probably thinks all my friends are attractive. He wants to sleep with that girl at work I saw him talking to that time. I mean, that's what she's thinking, right? She's not understanding that actually bringing another woman into you know, having a threesome could mean that she'll be getting some kind of, if she's into women, she might not even know yet, but that she could be getting some kind of sexual pleasure that she's never experienced. So I feel like if this is your girl, this is your woman, that you guys need to do your own sexual inventory together. Like, you kind of got to have one of these, like, take this off the table right now, the threesome or the unicorn, and just be like, babe, what really, like, turns you on? Like, let's go to a sex toy store and go shopping. Let's go online to Emily's website even and, like, look at some things she has. Or let's each write down three fantasies that we have and kind of exchange it. Like, and exchange papers and say, like, let's try to do these three things before the end of the year. So, like, you can start to have a dialogue about, and that might feel like you're actually having sex with a different person if you're having different experiences. Because the reason why your loins are on fire right now is you're kind of craving different experiences. And women, I'm sure. Right. But if she started, like, I don't know what your fantasy is, but if she started doing, like, striptease for you or started...
Solid sex. Like, that's not the problem. Like,
right.
I'm not sure what else we could do. Like, we shop your store.
What?
Listen to your podcast on road trips.
You do it all? You do? Yeah. Okay, so you're doing it all. So you really... Okay, you're up on it.
A little quiver.
So you literally want a third person. You want to have sex with someone else. Now, do you want to have sex without her in the room, or you want her to be there?
Preferably, I don't want her to be there. Honestly, it's sort of like, I heard somebody equate it to, you know, you might have, like, your favorite cheeseburger, like, but are you going to eat that same cheeseburger throughout the rest of your life?
Right. No.
Like, and it's still going to be as good? Probably not.
Right. So, I gotcha. No, I'm telling you, a lot of people feel this way. So I feel like you're right. I get it. Having sex with one person for the rest of your life can be challenging for sure. And you don't want to cheat. You're not that guy. So obviously you got to talk to her about it. I don't know how you're going to get her to sign up for this. Like, I really feel like unless she's younger than you and she loves you and she's like feeling like you guys are going to be together forever and have babies, and the thought of you going off and being with someone else is just killing her. You know, she can't wrap her head around it, even though it is, I don't think she's probably mature enough emotionally or even, you know, to understand like how that's even possible. You know what I'm saying? And, but also on the flip side of it is like, she probably does love you and want to please you. So if there's a way that she can understand this, I feel like maybe seeing a good sex therapist would be so helpful for you guys, because it sounds to me like, John, you, I like you because you're like, no, I know what I want. She's my woman. We want to be together. I just need to understand that I'm going to have sex with other people. And I have to tell you that I had a guy friend once. He was very similar to you. He was about your age. And he said to me, and he's very powerful, like one of the most successful men I know. And he said, I really want to marry her. I've been together, but like, I just want a hall pass. Like, I want to know that if I can go out and just know that I can have sex, like that'll kind of take some of that. I can marry her, but just to know that I can would give me this huge, I'm like, well, tell her. I think I said to her, maybe you need a hall pass. I don't remember what happened. And I mean, I don't remember how the conversation went down. I said, talk to her about it. And she said, okay, that's fine, babe. I just don't want to know. Don't make it one of our friends. And they got married and they're still together and they're happy. So what I'm saying is you get to decide what works here for you. That's a great thing right now. Like, there's not one way to be married, especially now. I think people are really kind of defining their own relationship rules because you get to do that. So till death do us part, and having sex with one person isn't necessarily work for everybody. For most people, it doesn't. So I feel like you could ask for a hall pass. I know some therapists that you could probably talk to on the phone. You guys could do like a Skype call that might be more equipped than somebody who's maybe in Idaho. Not to judge Idaho, I'm just not sure that like...
No, you'd be probably dead straight.
Yeah, they don't get it there. But I feel like, so let me send you some, we'll email you some names of some counselors you can talk to, because I think you're going to need some help with this one because you love her. Okay, John, how's that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know Joe Montana gets a hall pass. We've discussed that.
Yeah?
Like, this isn't really an uncommon thing.
It isn't.
But, you know, we're all raised with these regular norms.
No, right. Well, I'm proud of you for bringing, I'm glad you brought it up. So, yeah. He gets a hall pass. You might get one too. So I think you got to figure this out and be honest. And I love that you're doing that. Therapy will be great for you guys and all around.
Cool.
Okay. Let me know what happens, John. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks
a lot. Bye. You guys, that's really interesting. I feel like a lot of guys go into marriage thinking, and women, they're like, okay, yeah, I know that I'm going to want to sleep with someone else one day and I'll probably just cheat. Or if it happens, I don't need to tell my partner. But I think that John's handling it correctly right now, that he's facing it before he walks down the aisle. He's being honest with his partner that like, hey, I might want to have sex with someone else. Let's talk about it. Because, you know, it's more common than not. I think that we all kind of are going to want some action on the side. Many people. So I love that he's talking about it. Okay, we have Michael. He's 43 from Tampa, and he's never had previous performance issues, but he's having them now. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. Tell me about how you're doing. Tell me what's going on. Some background.
So background is that my girlfriend and I agreed to include other people in our relationship in the bedroom, and I obviously decided to go first and include the man. And when we were all together, I couldn't perform.
With the man.
You know, three or four times I got direct and then couldn't do anything.
Okay.
It would just go away.
That's okay. Because there was another man in the room with your girlfriend, the three of you. Threesome. Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Was he, were you touching each other at all? Were you guys connecting, or was it more about pleasuring your wife?
No, it was all about my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend.
It wasn't about me and him. Yeah.
Okay, it's about your girlfriend. I think for everybody it'd be helpful to explain that you're married, but you have a girlfriend. So can you explain to me your background here, your scenario, so we all know what's going on?
Okay, so I'm married and I have a girlfriend. My wife knows about it. And we have been seeing each other for almost a year, and she wanted me to have another female. So I thought it would be fair to have another male, and I decided to...
Your girlfriend wants you to have another female as well?
Yeah.
Got it. So, okay. Your girlfriend wants you to have like a threesome with her with another female, and you're like, and a male. And you're like, okay, let's try the male threesome first. Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
So I'm with you.
And then obviously I had the performance issue. I finally did one time get it to work, but so my biggest concern is that normal, first of all? Secondly, is that something I can expect if there's another female in the room? I mean, it's a little weird for me because I've never had a problem before at all.
Well, I feel like it's probably having another, I would think it'd be a male in the room, but I don't really know what it is, like, because I wasn't there. But was there any, do you remember your emotions? Do you remember, were you excited going into it? Were you turned on? Were you nervous? Did something happen?
Very excited. No, I mean, I was excited. You know, we were enjoying her, and, you know, I, you know, enjoyed what was going on, watching and, you know, participating to the point that I could. Just when it came time for me to do work, it didn't work.
Okay. And this has never happened before. And you're 43 years old. Has anything else changed in your life? Are you on any medication? Were you drinking, drugs?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're sober. You're healthy.
Sober, healthy.
Mm-hmm.
No issues.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, well, first of all, you know, after the age of 40, men do have some penis challenges that weren't that didn't exist before, but this might just be the case of that it was a new scenario and that you, you know, that you didn't, and also having another penis in the room, even though you weren't like threatened by it, that could also like, oh my God, this is not hot. Like literally like you lost your erection because it just, I think that for a guy who's like never, I don't think you've probably been in a room with another erect penis. Have you? Maybe. Okay.
Not that I can remember.
Well, okay. So, right. Well, okay.
Been,
so for
I've plenty of rooms with penises. Just
I understand, like at the gym, but I don't. I mean, like in a sexual situation with your girlfriend, another man. Like maybe you just lost it because you weren't really aroused still. Like it just kind of turned you off in some way. You know, it would, maybe it felt like a threat, not on a conscious level, like a preconscious level, gotcha. Subconscious. Yeah, that could be it. So I,
that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what could happen, the best thing to do when this happens and if it happens next time, like when you're with the woman, is just to like not trip on it. Thinking about anxiety begets more anxiety. So if you can be like, oh, look at that, I went limp. And you, I would talk to your girlfriend beforehand and say, babe, this if this happens, I just need you to like start, I don't know what it is, like what's something that she does that turns you on more than anything? It could be talking dirty. It could be a blowjob. It could be, like, tell me what she does that turns you on more than anything.
I mean, blowjobs work. I mean, that's what got me erect the three times, or I guess finally the fourth time, you know, but it was just like every time I was ready to do my part, it, the erection would just go away.
Right,
so, I mean,
right.
She was doing good getting it erect. It was just me on the performance end.
Right, right. So she would, so three times she went down on you and it got hard again and then it went like limp right away?
Yeah, as soon as I would go to enter her, it just like,
I was like, right. And where was he? Where was the guy?
She was, you know, either, you know, giving him a blowjob or he was sucking on her breast or
right.
Something like that.
I mean, to me, this is classic. Like, there's another man. Like, literally, it's biology. Like, there's another man there with your woman. His penis is erect. You're there. He's pleasing her. You're not, which would make me anxious. You know what I'm saying? Like, the first, like, I get it. So it sounds like there was a lot going on there. And, like, it's okay that this is the one time you had performance issues. I really wouldn't create a big thing about it. And if you could even just kind of, if you guys are having another threesome with a woman, you said coming up, I love your schedule.
Yeah.
It sounds really fun. You have like another threesome this weekend, but this time with a woman. I would just like, if anytime your brain's going to, oh shit, I hope I can perform, just think about, wow, it's going to be so hot to be two women. I can't wait to please them. I can't wait for them to please me. And just like literally cover this with all really great feelings and happiness and joy rather than focusing on, is this going to happen? And also if in the moment, if it happens, no big deal. Like same thing, like your girlfriend can, maybe they'll both give you a blowjob this time. You'll be like, you know what? I need both of you on me, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think it makes perfect sense why it happened last time. And I think you're going to rock it this next one.
Okay,
I have such faith in you. Okay. Cool, Michael. You got this. I love your life.
Yep, thanks.
Okay, bye. Have a great day. Thanks, Michael.
Bye.
Bye. It's interesting with performance issues around men that it's so true that with anything, the more we think about things during sex, about anxieties or worries, women do this too. Am I going to come? Am I going to have an orgasm? Will it happen? We're not going to. So if you find that you're thinking more during sex than you're feeling, you're probably preventing and, you know, something great from happening. And this is when a lot of the performance issues happen. This is why I don't want him to spend a lot of time thinking about it and worrying about it. Because a lot of times it can just be a one-off situation where you didn't get hard, you came too quickly, you didn't have an orgasm. Happens all the time. But I think that the more fuel we give to it, the more likely it's going to repeat. So that's why I just want him to focus on all the good stuff and not trip up on it. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this show. That was fun, right? I like the caller shows. So remember, when you're sending in your questions, you can just check the box and we will set up a time to call you for one of these shows. It's always a good time, right? Oh, I feel so good talking to you. Okay, so thanks, everybody, for listening. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Jamie, our interns Shannon and Jenny, producer Lark, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.